Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. I hope you're all doing well today. Give everyone a moment to come in.
Be right back, Joanna. I got to switch a camera here.
Everyone, hold on 1 second. I had Bruce's bio open and it disappeared, and I just want to make sure we have it, but I have it before we start. There we go.
Hey, will you make me a co-host when you get around to it, Joanna?
I didn't have my sound on. Were you saying something?
Is this the way it's going to go for the next hour? You're just going to keep saying, did you say something?
One of those days. I apologize. We're all set now.
Talk about feeling seen. co-host. Make me a co-host.
Yeah, let me go ahead and do that. Okay. Hopefully that worked. So welcome, everybody. I'm so, so happy to see all of you. Some of you I've already seen this week, and it's good to see you again. Some of you I saw last week. It's good to see you again. Since some of you I haven't seen in a little while. Since our last retreat, and it's good to see you as well. I've really been looking forward to our time together today. In a moment, I'll read Bruce's official bio, but before I do, just to share, I've had the pleasure of knowing Bruce for a little bit over a year now. Some of you know, he was in the Sacred Depths 2021 cohort, and he's in Advanced Depth. And over this last year, I've just had the pleasure and the privilege of having a number of conversations with Bruce and just incredible email exchanges. And I wanted to bring him on to share with us his work about core gifts and core wounds, because it is just phenomenal work. It's phenomenal work that he's doing in institutions and at not-for-profits that are supporting a wide range of individuals, including individuals that are at risk. And it's work that we can directly apply to ourselves and to our coaching practices and with our clients. It's really beautiful work. A couple of months ago in the autumn, Bruce gifted me with a core gift session. It was just phenomenal. And it was such a meaningful and beautiful opportunity for me to, you know, with Bruce's help, for me to really kind of see myself in a way, and see some different aspects of what I'm about, and what we came to at the end, just totally nailed. I think probably one of my biggest core purposes. So it was pretty magical as well. So all that being said, let me share with you the official bio. Bruce Anderson is an internationally recognized speaker, community activist, coach, and organizational culture change specialist. He's the executive director of the Core Gift Institute, managing partner of Community Activators, and emeritus faculty at the Asset-Based Community Development Institute at DePaul University. For the past 20 years, he's focused on blending multicultural indigenous practices with modern neuroscience into practical, proven methods individuals and organizations can use to identify and use everyone's gifts, increase hope, and create welcoming groups. He founded the Core Gift Institute in 2015 to deepen and expand the work of gifts, in pursuit of his goal that every person, regardless of life circumstance, can know their gifts and find important ways to contribute to their world. The Institute's methods are now used around the world by a range of individuals and groups, including coaches, schools, youth programs, therapists, social workers, employment programs, faith congregations, and mental health agencies. Welcome, Bruce.
Boy, what a mouthful. Thank you.
Thank you. Impressive, for sure. So happy to have you here.
I'm really glad to be here. It's one of my very favorite things to do is to talk about gifts. So, you know, and even though you and I, one thing I'm loving about what I know the next 50 minutes will be like is even though you and I had a brief conversation about things to talk about, we'll probably end up not talking about any of those things. And something, you know, completely different, whatever the energy of the group is. So,
yeah, we'll see. I'm excited.
Yeah.
We'll start off with script though, because I think it's important. And I'll ask you to just share with us what your definition of gifts are. And I know you have a particular definition, you know, what is that definition? Where does it come from?
It comes from, I do want to show, I've got three or four slides here. So it's much more efficient since it's a short period of time, just to show you a couple things that you can read and then you'll kind of get the direction that we're coming from here. So make me a co-host, huh?
I did that.
You did that?
Yeah. Okay.
So you should be able to see a slide now. So we've been at this for, you know, between 25 and 30 years now, and from a multitude of different perspectives. There was way more information about gifts than we were aware of. Each one of those eight fields of practice and development has its own, you know, jargon terminology, its own approaches, but there's a pile of information about gifts in all eight of those places if you start poking around in the literature and the practice. So we have, what we've tried to do is learn from all eight of those fields over the last, you know, 28 years, I guess it is now. Although there is mounds of information about what a gift is and different practices, there is almost nothing about how to find a gift. It's a very fascinating thing. There's almost no information other than the 8 question quiz in pop psychology, you know, in Psychology Today magazine, or there's a bunch of stuff on YouTube, Know Your Gift in, you know, 7 minutes. But there really aren't reliable methods to know your gifts. And what I mean by that is you get the same answers every time, because most people mistake passions for gifts, and they're not the same things. And so we've really tried to look in all of those fields, and we've put together a recipe that the most important thing to us is that we stay true to indigenous understandings of gifts. And when we can blend that together with modern neuroscience, that's really the foundation of kind of the truth for us. And so it's taken this to this, what I think is a generally acceptable multicultural definition of gifts. There's four features to it. It's a unique ability
Rona, whatever this gift is in Rona, she does it slightly different than everybody else on the planet in some way. It's freely given, can't have any coercion, has to be given out of a generous spirit. You can't give it because you want something in return, or you think the person needs it, but they don't want it. It has to be given from a generous heart. And it's for the benefit of another living thing. We started out thinking about gifts as things humans do for each other, but we quickly discovered that's a patriarchal view. The indigenous view of gifts is you can give a gift to any living thing. So you can give a gift to a plant. A plant can give a gift to you, to your pet. So as long as it's alive, and somebody asked, I was working with a group of indigenous people in outside of Perth, Australia last night, and somebody asked a question about stones. And of course, stones are living things. They're part of the earth. And so it's really any living natural thing. So that's what a gift, that's how we define a gift. And we have a very simple recipe. The most basic thing in Joanna is instincts. She jerks her hand when she touches the hot stove. And then it gets a little more interesting, because skills are things where there's some learning involved. You don't get a pleasure response other than just getting the job done. And you may or may not have a natural ability to do it. And gifts then have four criteria. They're tied. You can see that doing this thing is part of an important path in your life, you know, more than brushing your teeth. You have an eagerness to learn about it. It does produce a pleasure sensation in you when you give it. And you notice you've got a natural ability for it. You've got a knack. You pick it up faster than other people.
Bruce, can we pause for a second?
Sure.
You're sharing so many golden nuggets, and I want to slow it down just a little bit.
Okay.
There are a couple of things you've shared already that make me so curious, and I'll just kind of choose the most recent for us to kind of look at a little bit more. But this idea, and at least this is how I'm hearing it, and tell me if I hear it the right way, that a gift isn't about achieving a goal. So often in coaching, not always, thank goodness, but often in coaching, we're kind of trying to define our talents or what we're good at in order to reach a goal. And what I'm really hearing you say is that, yes, a gift can possibly help you reach a goal. You didn't say that. I'm guessing into that. Mm-hmm. But that's not really the purpose of a gift.
Right. The purpose of a gift is to keep you on your larger path.
Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. Let me just, there's two things you said that I think are really important. Were really important in me and my learning. The first is that there's no connection between gifts and competence. You can suck at giving your gifts. So we have completely changed the meaning of the word gift. You know, gifted classrooms in high schools are all the smarty pants kids. And then there's the, you know, kids with developmental disabilities on the other end of the classroom, who aren't smarty pants. And so we've really twisted the meaning of the word gift. Gifts never had anything to do with competence. Your gift is what you are called to give, and you can give it at any level. And we know
let's just hold on there. Gifts aren't your competence.
Right.
They're what you're called to give.
Yes.
You know, just when I hear that, my body relaxes into a sense of relief and satisfaction in that.
Yeah.
It's such a different thing than competence and goals.
And we know that's true in you, Joanna, because at the end of every session, you know, if you're much of a teacher at all, you do a review and you think, oh, I think I might do this different next time. Oh, here's where I screwed up this time. I want to change that around. And you acknowledge what you did well. But gifts are things that have a constant craft building attached to them. And in most cultures, gifts began to be identified during puberty rites. So a 13-year-old young girl sucks at her gifts. She's not old enough to be good at them yet. And so it was assumed that there's a building competence over the course of your life.
I love that. I interrupted you, but I think you were getting towards what it means for gifts to help you stay on your path.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the first thing to acknowledge is we don't, in industrialized and cash economies, are strength-based economies and don't value paths. If Rona works at General Motors and she's on the assembly line putting in a headlight and I'm your boss, I don't give a damn, Rona, what you think the purpose of your life is. I want you to pick up that power drill. I want you to put that screw in, and I want you to do it with a high enough quality that the next person on the assembly line can do their task. And conversations about life purpose are a distraction. So I care that you have the strengths to use a screwdriver and choose the right screw out of the bin, but your life purpose has absolutely nothing to do with that. And so if you track the disappearance, gifts has almost disappeared in the world, except for in certain pockets, in certain places. And so if you track what happened, you can track the disappearance of gifts directly to the industrialization of a geographic area. And to manufacturing and money. Because our Rona's culture was a gift exchange culture 200 years ago.
Yeah. It's Rana, not Rona. But
Rona,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Rana, yeah. Rana. Yeah, absolutely. So capitalism, I mean, in sum, what I'm hearing is capitalism kind of robs us of our true gifts.
Yeah. Yeah, because it sets up, capitalism is based on competition. Spending the least, getting the most. And so it's really based in competition, which sets up a hierarchy of who's better than somebody else. And one of the primary ideas about gifts is that Inbal is better at something than anybody else on the planet. And that's in direct opposition to a strength-based practice, which says Inbal can do some stuff, other people can do it too. And it's really not true at all.
Well, what I love about that too is if that's true for everybody, then there's a complete equal playing field in a way, because everybody has something that they can do better than anyone else on the planet. Yeah. You know, it's, of course, we all know here, everybody deserves respect just because they do. But the way that you're describing it, you know, if more people would understand this way of looking at gifts, it would create so much more mutual respect and self-respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would. Yeah, we lose a lot of capacity by not believing everybody has something to contribute. Communities are weaker because of that. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it disappeared in relation to commercialization. And so we've developed, and out of that has come this strength-based thing. I think, you know, things like strength finders can be useful, but really they're, in terms of building gifted culture, strength finders is one of the most destructive tools on the planet, because it says you can be defined by your strengths. And that's a brand new idea in the world. Hi, Inbal. And the older idea is you have strengths, but the main definition of who you are is the primary path that you're on. It's not your strengths. And so without a tool like Strength Finders, also having immediately with it some tool to identify the main path you're on in your life, you get disoriented really fast, because you don't have a touchstone for all your strengths. What's up, Inbal? Hi.
So I had a question. Yeah, I wasn't just like saying hi. I've had my hand up. I was just curious. When you were defining the gift, was there another slide to be looking at?
Yeah, there is.
Okay, because I think that just like threw me off, because there's like the eight sources, and then yeah, that was it. It was just hard for me to follow.
Okay, so the first slide was just all the different places you can look around and find information about gifts.
Yeah, we only saw the first slide, Bruce. So if you were
shifting you did?
Them, yeah, they didn't shift on the screen.
You didn't see that?
It says, still says eight sources of information.
Gotta be kidding. Nothing is changing on your screen?
No.
Wow. I have no idea what to do.
I think if you try closing out of the PowerPoint and then opening it to the one.
Oh, here we go. Never mind. Here we go. There's a button I've never seen. It says resume share. Anything is what's a gift showing up on your screen now?
No.
Okay. Hang on.
There we go.
Now it says, what's a gift?
For a second, we saw it, and now it's nothing.
Wow, I have no idea why. I've never seen this before.
You know, if you go back and just keep it to, even though we could see all the like little slides on the side, that might
here
help. And if not, we'll
maybe go.
We can.
Amazing. I'll just do my desktop here and I'll be able to. So now you can see a slide says, what's a gift?
Yes.
So in Ball, a gift has these four qualities to it. If it doesn't have these four, it's not a gift. And we use a really simple recipe that says there's kind of four levels of contribution, four different categories of contribution. And the one we're focused on right now is gifts. And there's four, you have to see that doing this contributes to what you see as a larger pathway in your life. It has to have a purpose. You've got a natural learning interest in it. It produces a pleasure response when you're doing it. But one of the big problems with gifts is we're so in love with them that we overgive them and we burn out with them until it no longer produces a pleasure response. So gifts are a trap in a way towards burnout. And you have a natural ability. You notice, seem to pick it up faster than other people, or you have a knowing about it that's quicker in some way or deeper than other people. And then your core gift is simply the gift that matters the most to you. And in our terminology, your core gift is the primary path in your life. So your instincts, your skills, and your gifts all serve your core gift.
Bruce, what's the impact for people when they identify their core gift?
I think that the, after doing thousands of these, I think the impact is there's four or five things that happen. One is there's a moment where the person has this sense, oh my God, Bruce knows me better than almost anybody else in the world, even though I've just met them. Because you're seeing the person for how they want to be seen more than any other way. You're really seeing the thing they want to be seen for more than anything else, because it's the primary thing they're trying to make happen in the world. So they feel deeply seen. And then they get scared because they realize how much they suck at it. And they're afraid somebody will call them out for it, until we're able to calm people down and say, if this is a path, you should be failing half the time. Because paths require a lot of courage, and you're going to have a lot of fails for a lot of successes. But the point is just to stay on the path. So it's a touchstone for everything. So Joanna, if I was in a coaching session with you and you came to me with I want a new job, or I want a new husband, or I want a new this, or I want a new that, the first question I'd have for you is what's your main path? And the reason I would do that is because I know that whatever you have been doing and whatever you're going to do in the future, that's going to be the primary determiner about whether or not you want to stay on that path. So for me, I have a core gift around imagination and hopefulness. I've tried to run organizations 5 or 6 times. I can't do it. Everybody loves me as a leader. I'm warm and lovable and kind. But if it's not new, I can't do it. I can't stick with it. So I'm a lousy manager of an organization. And it took me 3 times to know that before I finally figured it out. And it took knowing my core gift to figure that out. And so if I know Inbal's core gift, can I use you as an example, Inbal? If I know Inbal's core gifts, she and I know several things. I know how to acknowledge you, Inbal, in a way that will bring tears to your eyes. I know how you're going to come at me when you get mad at me. I know the essential ingredient in any kind of a job you choose that's going to be make or break for you. If you know that, you'll be able to tell me why the primary relationships in your life, what has caused some of them to fail and what's caused some of them to succeed. It'll be directly tied to that core gift. And I'll know what's going to take the most courage for you to do next, because it's always the learning or pressure or pain point around your gift that you're most interested in figuring out in the next move in your life. So in terms of a benefit to a coaching relationship, I think it's foundational to going forward with a person. But since it's kind of a lost idea in the world, we tend to start with a problem approach. Inbal brings me an issue and we start there. That's a brand new way of solving problems in the world. The older way is Inbal comes with an issue and we don't start with the issue. We start with what's the path of your life, Inbal? Where are you headed? And then we go back and talk about whatever it is you want to change in your life. But everything is all, the touchstone is always the main path you're on.
I love that. It is really a different kind of approach, and one that is, as you're talking, it occurs to me like it's less short-sighted. It's more of the longer game and the longer impact. I want in a little bit for you to share a little bit more about how we can apply it in our client work. But before we do, I'm guessing there are questions or ideas coming together that I feel will be interesting and helpful. Is it okay, Bruce, if we hear from a couple of folks?
I'm just here, sure. Yeah, yeah. I guess I want to say one more thing related to what Inbal and I were talking about. The older ways of understanding healing is that Inbal gets in some kind of situation in her life. It throws her off of her path. She gets into some kind of an ordeal, either, not very deep or really deep. She goes through the struggle. And then the old way of understanding healing, this is an initiation process. There's a separation from how you thought your life was going to go. You get thrown into an ordeal of some kind. And then as you get through that, you get what in older language is called a homecoming. And a homecoming doesn't mean going back home. A homecoming means going back to a new description of who you are, which is how you're different as a result of this story you've just been through. And the old idea of understanding healing is that the new descriptor includes the gift that you got from going through that story in your life. And the healing doesn't happen from knowing the gift. The healing actually happens at the moment you give the gift to somebody else.
I love that, the moment you give the gift to somebody else.
It gets us out of our head and gets us acting in the world. So if we don't identify the gift from a struggle, old cultures say you can't heal, you're carrying around the ordeal forever. Because the healing actually happens not at the moment of understanding, but at the moment of giving the gift.
Yeah. I love that. I also love this idea of homecoming being an ever evolving process versus a static, always coming back home to the same exact place. Mm-hmm. Homecoming as an orientation versus a destination in a way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's some great questions in the chat. Rana's got a really good one. As Indigenous peoples aren't a monolith, are there particular tribes, clans, and or nations that these sources of information have been sourced from?
Yes, there have been a lot from Asian culture, Buddhist culture, spirituality practices in general, a lot from African culture, specifically the Dagara tribe in Burkina Faso, West Africa, a lot from Indigenous tribes in the central Canadian region, in the tundra. And a lot from my homeland, which is around Seattle here, tribes around Seattle. So one of the things that I like about the idea of gifts is that it isn't a monolith thing. There are peculiarities, but what's been fascinating is there are general truths. There are kind of generally accepted practices and truths around the idea of gifts that tend to be patterned across most cultures. So,
great. Kristen's asking, how would you begin to define the path that you're on? I don't think very many people know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, there's a couple clues. One of the clues is to, the first clue is to not ask your friends and your lovers. They tend to tell you things you're good at, which often aren't your gifts. Not asking the people right around you is a real, is the first thing. The second thing is your core gift. Hi, Simone, I saw you last week. Hi. Whatever Simone's core gift is the opposing force to whatever her psyche says is the largest struggle that she's faced.
Can you say that again?
Yeah. So Simone's core gift, the main path of her life, is the counteracting or opposing force to whatever she says is the largest struggle that she's been in. And of course, that's the gift. And so then every time Simone goes out and gives that gift, she's healing herself from that story, and she's also bringing love and that gift to the world. So one of the ideas in gifts is there's always a reciprocal healing benefit for the gift giver, and the receiver is getting the gift. So it's always tied to suffering. No such thing as a path that's not tied to suffering. Doesn't exist. Yeah.
feel like those are, there have been many writer downers, but for me, what you just said is definitely a writer downer. There's no path that's not also attached to suffering.
Yeah.
To normalize that.
So it's what the Buddhists call purposeful suffering. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a path, you just encounter a bunch of useless trash that's happening to you. But if you're on a path, then you encounter useful suffering. Yeah. Does that make sense, Simona? Yeah.
Bruce, will you just check in?
Thank you for giving me purpose to my suffering and trials.
Yeah. Hope you can have another suffering day tomorrow. Get another gift.
Why, thank you.
Hi, Rose. Yeah. So one other little thing. I know I've heard you talk enough, Simona, to know you will really trip out on this. So how our psyches are arranged is when we get this core gift thing, this core wound thing going, we tend to interpret other problems we face as having that same core suffering. And so it keeps reaffirming the wound and the gift over time. Yeah. Yeah.
Rose has her hand raised.
Yes, Rose.
So since you and I are like about the same age, like exactly, I'm really having this thought that, boy, it would have been really, everything you're saying totally resonates with me. And I grew up in this patriarchal industrialized culture and have been an empath and a seeker and been through many initiations, and really finally at this stage in my life actually feel like a homecoming is, and it's all coming together in some way where I'm giving sort of the gifts of what I have learned from my wounds. But mm-hmm. I still feel like there's a vast amount of information and learning that I long to know more about. So how would one uncover, core gifts, or you said there was a simple process.
That's kind of, how we spend 80% of our time we have a 2-day thing. We train people in a guidance process where at the end, if I was doing it with you, Rose, you would end up telling me what the main purpose of your life is. That's what the process produces. It's what I did with Joanna. Mm-hmm. I am not in the sales business here. I know nothing about sales. It's not a gift. Looking around, Jenny and Mark, who were, I haven't seen them for a long time, but they were in this last cohort that I was in. Yep. They have something they call the BOP, it's a three, where I can't remember the acronym, but they have a thing that you can get in with them. That's a multi-session thing where you end up essentially with that answer. What's the main purpose of my life? And there, Jonathan Gustin has a 6-month training process, purpose guides, he calls it. But really, those three things, that me and Jenny and Mark and John, it's the only three things I actually know of. Wow. It's really a lost idea. It's really a lost idea. When you start looking around for a dependable process where you'll come up with the same kind of an answer every time you do it, those are the only three I know of. And I spend my life looking for things like that. Yeah, it's just gone. A lot of talk about it. A lot of people say it's important, but there's no processes around for it. So strength finders is the deal. Hi, Kim.
Oh, wait, before you go on to Kim, Bruce, I know you have, like you're saying, this longer process, which I think is amazing. But I also know just over email, you had shared with me, a couple of tips that you can give us in terms of either asking ourselves or supporting our clients when it comes to gifts and paths. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So are we at some practical things you can do now? Is that where we are?
I feel like that's a little bit what Rose was asking. We can come back around to Kim. Maybe you want to answer Kim and then we'll look at some practical pieces.
Sure.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, for me, it was more, what is the process of uncovering this? But I guess you said there are those three. So I don't, mm-hmm. so it just feels like it's a really deep way of putting together what your life has been or looking at it differently. And so it's just, it's very resonant to me. And I'm just, yes, I'm looking for a little bit more. I could do the 2-day with you. I don't know. There's options now, but this is, so.
So one of the things about this, Rose, that is a misnomer, is that we had Western, you know, therapy and they were all birthed in Western medical model. If you're practicing it around here, and Joanna is fighting mightily against that, and almost everybody else in Sacred Depths is. But one of the things, really the things to understand, is we've been trained that what's really important about us is deep and hard to understand. And if it's really hard to understand, we need a therapist or a coach. The idea of gifts is the get your gifts, Rose, and I've seen them in you now for a year and a half. Your gifts are sitting on the surface of your body as energy, trying to be seen and received. They are not deep. The more you probe for your gifts, the more of a fog you get into, the more confused you get, and the more you begin to believe you have no gifts. It's completely counterintuitive to a depth-oriented process, which is a Western model. That's not an Eastern or a Southern model. It's a Western medical model, depth.
And it also feels counterintuitive to a depth-oriented person, you know, like so that's
we train people to do this process. The people who suck at facilitating this, I can tell you, are coaches, therapists, spiritual guides, and writers. Those four people and kinds of people. And it's for a very good reason, because they have depth oriented gifts. And so they make their living by asking questions that open things up for wider and wider understanding. And the idea of gifts is opposite of that. And once they understand they don't have to do that, then they're the best people I know at it. But they have to cross that line of believing that what's on the surface of you, Rose, is easily available and seen.
Good. Great.
Got a question, Kim?
Well, maybe not anymore. I was curious about this core suffering that it sounded like you were talking about. And I'm wondering if I can get at my core gift, which I have a hard time finding. And maybe that's a piece of what you were describing, by coming at it through looking at my suffering.
You most certainly can. And it's one of the places to look. The process that we use, because we do with 16-year-old kids we're never going to see again in high school classrooms. We have to use the process that's safe and doesn't leave people with open gaping wounds when we walk away. And so the process that we use only has positive questions. The entire thing is a joyful thing. It's not a deep probing process, and it uncovers this main gift, which is tied to your primary wound without ever mentioning your primary wound.
But there is a primary wound, just like there's a gift. Okay.
Yeah. So for me, it's my core gift is around imagination that can create hope. So it comes from every time talking at the dinner table with my dad and having him tell me my ideas weren't worth anything, or him coming up with a better idea. It comes from going bankrupt in the huge investment in a fishing boat in Alaska, and realizing that if I didn't use my imagination, working harder and getting more money wasn't going to get me out of the bind. I had to use my imagination to figure out how to make more money as a fisherman. So all the core wounding experiences in my life have something to do with tapping or not tapping my imagination. And so it is in you, Kim. If you track back your difficulties, you'll see there's a common thread. And whatever the opposing force to that is your core gift. I know you're a fellow Islander, Kim. You like these dark, rainy, suffering places.
I do, but I'm going to come to your island and we're going to talk.
Okay. Can we talk about some practical things we can do?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a couple suggestions. One of them is to begin a coaching process, like right off the bat. If I was coaching with you, Kim, I would immediately, when we sat down and we had introductions and we, you know, created some places to start, things you were interested in pursuing, the next step for me is I would use a whole session to do it. I would ask you to give me four or five examples of other difficult situations that you've been in, anytime from, you know, age five until you walk through the door. I would ask you to describe one of those situations. And then I would ask you a very specific question that, and the wording is very important. What's the one thing more than anything else that you can either do better or you believe in more strongly as a result of going through that story? What's the one thing more than anything else that you either, that you can do better or you believe in more strongly as a result of going through that story? And I would get you to say that. It's got to be in a phrase or a sentence. It's not a long rambling thing. It's got to be really clear. Then I'd ask you to think of another thing that you successfully navigated. And I would do that five times with you. And what I've produced in that is five primary gifts in you, because it's how you navigated that trouble. Whatever you value more or whatever you can do better is the gift from that story. So I would do that. So we're starting then, regardless of what the situation you've come to talk about is or repair. If I do that with you, a couple things are going on. Number one is your psyche is saying, I've made it through a lot of things before. I think I can make it through this one. So it gives you a ground of hope to stand on. It also, I'm going to ask you with those five things directly, how could you use those five gifts to navigate the situation you're currently in? Because I know those are your go-to problem-solving helpers. So we're starting with things you've already been successful at. We're starting with a ground of hope saying, you've been through hard things before. It's likely you're going to get through this too. It gives you a way to believe that I have seen you and I believe in you because I've seen you get through other difficult things. And it's a touchstone then that I'll keep coming back to at every stage in the coaching process. I'm going to remind you of those five things. And I'm going to say, any of those helpful now, Kim? So it's a way to start strong and start with the remembering of your essential capacity and start from a ground of hope rather than trouble. So I would do that right off the bat. So anybody can do that. It's a very easy, practical thing to do. The second thing I would do is in the midst of the coaching steps, whenever I see you making some kind of progress, you've accomplished something, I would ask you what the gift is. So if you'd done something at the last session and you come back and report, this is what I did last time, Bruce. My question is going to be, what's the gift? What can you do better or believe in more strongly as a result of that thing you just told me you accomplished? And so I'm going to set up a culture in our relationship of a gifted thread and constant gift reminders all through our interactions together, every session. I think it's the second really easy and practical thing to do. And the third thing is, you know, at the end of any major accomplishment or at the end of our coaching together, I think it's really important to build a ritual. Oh God, Joanna likes this. I already know. To set up, build a ritual table of some kind, a gift ritual table. And gift ritual tables always include fire, a candle or fire. It can be outside, because fire, most cultures, you know, it's just, God, white 70-year-old man talking about multicultural stuff is just a pile of trouble. So forgive me. But most cultures, fire represents both inspiration and pissed offness. It's anger and creativity. And so that's code for gift and wound in a gift ritual. So some kind of fire, some kind of acknowledgement of the major gifts you have received from the experience. So there's a reading, something written down in a reading. There's fire. There's always a libation, a point where you, it can be at a river or a lake or a bowl of water, but where you take a small vessel of some kind that has water in it and pour it in to the larger pool, which represents the ancestral pool, and say the name of two or three people of which you could not have gotten where you've gotten to today without them. So it's an acknowledgement you didn't do it alone and they've got your back. And the ritual table always has earth on it and, you know, plants and stones to represent this origin that we all come from, you know, Mother Earth and love and welcoming and holding. So having some kind of a closing that is specifically pointed at the gifts you've received during our time together and in this story you're trying to alter in your life, I think is really important and easy to do. So that's my three practical suggestions about how to weave gifts into a coaching process.
I love all that you just shared, Bruce, and particularly this, I mean, the ritual aside, because that's a whole other conversation on itself.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
But also particularly this idea of really incorporating the identifying of the core gift in the beginning, or the core gifts in the beginning, and then continuing to come back to them. So it's not just this like piece of information that then, you know, gets written down and gathers dust, like so much can, but right. it becomes this living, breathing resource and tool that gets used no matter what the situation is.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Yeah. So true.
Wendy's asking in the chat, do core gifts change? Because your core wounding at 60 is different right. than your core wounds at 16.
So this main path, this core gift doesn't change, but you get increased understanding around it and different ways to give it at different points in your life. So I'm giving my core gift differently now at 70 than I did when I was 28. But the main path doesn't change, but the ways you give it change. And those in spiritual language are called practices. The practices to give the gift change, but the gift, the main thread of the gift doesn't change. And so Rona, I see your thing. Yeah, gaze onto the gift wound thing. The big leap is around this core gift thing. There's, you know, she has a lot of questions in there that are about it, but there's no actually really process in that book. I'm looking at it right now to mop it up and come to a conclusion. That's what most of these processes don't have. They kind of leave it up to you to decide something. I feel like the coaching part of it sort of ends right where it could get really, really useful for a person. But she's on it. It's a really good book. It's a really good book. Yeah. Yeah.
So we have 5 minutes left. I'm guessing there's probably another question or two out there, which I hope we'll have time for. But before we do, I want to make sure I ask this, Bruce, how can we find you and how can we go deeper with this work?
coregifts.org. We just launched a new website. We had kind of an old tired website and we just launched it. And we have 14 different offerings that are all oriented to understanding gifts in some way. But kind of the centerpiece of it all is this master facilitator event that we do every couple months. We just let 10 people in, and it's a 2-day long thing. And there's some of the background of it, but there's a lot of coaching in the process. And so we're confident when you leave, you'll be able to go do it with other people. So that's kind of the main thing, but there's a lot there.
Yeah. Great. I haven't checked out your new website yet. I'm excited to do that.
What the hell you been doing?
Sorry, I'm behind.
Good Lord, woman.
Get there. I'm going to get there. Yeah. Jessica's sharing about Ken Page's book, Deeper Dating. That sounds like a great resource too. We have a few minutes left. Who else has any questions or takeaways? You know, what you're really taking from this time today, or any other questions for Bruce? And Bruce, you can take it off the screen share. So we've got just a few minutes. I'd love to hear a takeaway or two. So much in here today. Oh, and Jenna's asking, how would you define purpose?
So purpose is the driving reason for the behavior that we can see in you. And so purpose can be at a really shallow level or a really deep level. It's one of the problems with the word purpose is there's no kind of generally understood meaning of depth to it. I have big purpose in, you know, brushing my teeth in the morning, but it's not the driving force in my life. So purpose can be a kind of a confusing word to use in relation to gifts and life paths. I haven't heard about deeper dating. I don't know anything about deeper dating.
All right. Well, thank you, Bruce, so much for this time. This work just excites me so much. And I know you've said to me a number of times, and you shared here, it's not a part of the coaching. I don't know what the word is. It's not a part of coaching as much as it should be. And I agree with you 100%. I think it makes for much better coaching and just opportunities for growth when we consider gifts in the way that you've shared it today. So thank you so much.
And yeah, my pleasure. Yeah. I really appreciate you guys showing up. Everyone's really busy. Thanks for showing up for an hour. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. So I'll hang on. If people want to, anybody that wants to talk, I've got a little bit of time here. So happy to hang on for a little bit. Everyone else can leave.
Okay, great. I'm going to turn the recording off, and then we'll see you all soon, but also Bruce and I'll hang out too.